Today is Ash Wednesday. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the prophet Joel. Thus saith the Lord, be converted to me with all your heart, in fasting and in weeping and in mourning. And rend your hearts and not your garments, and turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, patient and rich in mercy, and ready to repent of the evil. Who knoweth but he will return and forgive and leave a blessing behind him, sacrifice and libation to the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather together the people, sanctify the church, assemble the ancients, gather together the little ones and them that suck at the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth from his bed and the bride out of her bride chamber. Between the porch and the altar, the priests, the Lord's ministers, shall weep and shall say, spare, O Lord, spare thy people, and give not thy inheritance to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Why should they say among the nations, where is their God? The Lord hath been zealous for his land, and hath spared his people. And the Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be filled with them, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations, saith the Lord Almighty. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 16 to 21. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, who disfigure their faces in order to appear to men as fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But thou, when thou dost fast, anoint thy head and wash thy face, so that thou mayest not be seen fasting by men, but by thy Father who is in secret. And thy Father who sees in secret will reward thee. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where rust and moth consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth consumes, nor thieves break in and steal. For where thy treasure is, there also will thy heart be. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Of course, I'm not sure if we can sense that very moving words from the prophet Joel, if you can hear that dynamism in this account, where he is describing the need for penance, and he's telling the people, and he's calling them, this is the Holy Spirit, of course, inspiring this prophet of the Old Testament, and telling him to cry out to the people for the need for penance, for fasting, and as our Lord describes it in detail in the Gospel, not to rend your garments, but to rend your hearts. And our Lord explains more, because if you just put on the appearances of penance, you've already gained your reward, whereas the acts of penance are something for eternity. So Joel first talks about it, then our Lord explains it, and then he makes the cry to call everyone to this, from the infants to the old people, the ancients. Assemble the ancients. It's for everyone. And then he says, and then the priests. So he names everybody, and he says, the priests must, between the porch, the vestibule, and the altar. They must be crying out, "Spare, O Lord, spare your people." The priest is supposed to have been practicing penances of Lent at the beginning of Septuagesima. And so he has the special call to lead the people in these penances. And the drama of this prophecy is coming to the fore as the people now cry out under the weight of sin, crying out to God and saying, "When will you lift the curse that the pagans, the nations, keep crying out, mocking you through us, your people? Where is your God? Where is he? This God you keep talking about, where is he to help you? Why does he abandon you?" And the drama continues, and then it says, God hears his people, and he blesses them, and he blesses the land. And then he gives them the fruits of the land. He gives them the corn, the wheat, the oil, the wine. Now, for those who are of his people, we are hearing. Are you not hearing that? We're hearing all of the matter of the sacraments. Do you hear that? He's giving us the wine. He's giving us the oil. He's giving us the corn, the wheat. And he says, "I will no longer make your reproach among the peoples, the nations. I will bless you. Your penances have been heard." So, right at the beginning, right on day one, we know that everything we're going to do during Lent will be efficacious. We will be given the wheat. We will be given the wine. We will be given the oil. I'm seeing Holy Thursday. There's the Mass of the Chrism in the morning where all the sacred oils are made for the sacraments. I'm seeing later at the evening of Holy Thursday, the Last Supper. I'm seeing the wheat and the wine being given to us in Holy Communion. So right on day one, we're being challenged, asked, pleaded with to join with Holy Mother of the Church in this time of penance with the promise and the guarantee that God is listening. But as our Lord explains in the Gospel, again in more detail, that he sees and asks and acts in secret. So we go to our rooms and pray in secret, and our Lord will hear us there. So this is the first thing. We are entering into, it is a challenge, we'll put it that way. But it is a challenge that we can and will succeed in. And we are not to be, because our sins do oppress us, and they do make us feel the darkness of it. But Lent is the time to break out of that, and God will hear his people. So that's just maybe more time than necessary, just to talk about that epistle, because that is the clarion call, you may say, about Lent. That's why it's right here at the beginning. Okay, now let's talk, in the time we have left, about this particular Mass of Ash Wednesday. Of course, at the morning Mass, we had the blessing of all of the ashes and then the imposition. At this Mass, now at the end of the day, for all the people who were not able to come this morning because of work and different schedules, only will the church foreseeing this has made allowances for it. It gives us an opportunity, whereas the people at the morning mass, we had to wait for the sermon to get the instruction about this great sacramental of ashes. For you who have not received the ashes yet, you will receive them after the mass. And this is our chance to prepare you. And you have a whole mass to get ready, but here are some words to keep in mind. Holy Mother, the Church, of course, with the inspiration of God through the Holy Spirit, has the mind of God in the things that Holy Mother Church does. Well, if we're dealing with the mind of God, we're dealing with something infinite. So every time the priests get up to talk about something, the sacred liturgy, the church, the doctrines, obviously, and you can all sense it, and you even sense it, there's more, we can't get it all. Well, that's just the way it is. God has so much, and we're all limited, we can't do it. So that's the little footnote to this, that this mass is full of great riches. Can't be expressed, but they're all available to you. We remind you, they're all available, and if you pray and you are generous, they will be given. So despite the limitations of our own human nature, and God will give you all these graces, you have to be very generous in your prayers right at this mass. So what are we talking about now? We're talking about the sacred liturgy, the quick review that we know, God knowing our human nature, composed of body and soul, made in his image and likeness, he knows that he doesn't have to do this. He can infuse everything he wants directly into our soul, but he has created us this way. And it says in Genesis, of course, and he saw that what he created was good. And the introit, of course, reminds us of that. God does not hate anything that he has created. And so he sees that in what he has created in us is good. Adam, of course, disrupted that beauty and harmony. But in God, from God's hand, it is good. It is weak now because of Adam's sin. And so he works with us because he understands that what he has created is good. And the way he works with us is through our own human nature, through our body. And so when he comes to redeem us, he could have done it any way he wanted, but how did he do it? He became one of us. He took on this human nature so that he was one with us and he would redeem for us and we would get to heaven through him, through his human nature. And he leaves his human nature among us through the sacraments. These outward signs, so they come in touch with our human nature, instituted by our Lord, that give us grace, that give us the supernatural. This is what it's always about. This is, and when non-Catholics attack the church for these things, for the sacraments, and you see what happens, they start knocking off sacraments. If you watch that, you get down to some of these non-Christian or these non-Catholic denominations, they don't have any sacraments. Some of them have a couple, like they'll have baptism. They'll have something of a Eucharist. Who would want to get rid of these contacts with God? There's only one person ultimately that would want to do that. It's the devil. Because he wants to cut off our contact with the divine. We can't let him. So the liturgy is the great power of giving us God's life through the sacraments and other things like sacraments, which we call sacramentals. They are like sacraments, you can hear the name. So there are outward signs instituted by Christ, not directly, but through his church. That's the difference there. And they give grace, but different from the sacraments. They give it depending upon the holiness of the church at that moment in time, the holiness of the minister, the holiness of the recipient. And this is one of the great sacramentals of the church, ashes. So you see, if you're following this, you can see right away that the value of these ashes is going to depend on several things. It's going to depend on holiness of the church, it's going to depend on the minister giving them, and it's going, and this is the part that's critical for you, it's going to depend on the recipient. The value of these ashes that you're going to receive tonight, which are going to carry you throughout all of Lent, you must receive them with the greatest devotion, the greatest summoning up of sorrow for your sins. And if you do that, you are going to receive tremendous benefits tonight and throughout Lent. So that's what you want to concentrate on, adding to that to help. What do these sacramentals do? They give us an increase of grace. They take away venial sins. So when you're received, you don't have to remember all these things, but you just have to summon up your love, your sorrow. And these are things that are going to automatically happen to you automatically based on this premise of your devotion. You're going to receive an increase of grace. Your venial sins will be taken away. Temporal punishment, time that you must make up for sins, that can be taken away. If you receive these ashes with the greatest degree of, with that perfect love, you would take away all temporal punishment. So as people are going home today, tonight, if God called anyone, you would go straight to heaven. It also has an overflow in our own bodies, not just our soul. Reception of ashes or any sacramentals, but we're talking about that today, will actually give you a restoration of health, cure you of illness, give you material blessings. And finally, it is a protection against the devil. That is why he attacks sacraments. That's why he attacks sacramentals. All those Catholics, they're all superstitious. See what's happening? The devil has fooled those pagans outside. The secret for this Mass, the prayer will be said here shortly, talks about this. You ready? Venerabilis Sacramentum. It's going to talk about this venerable sacrament that we are beginning. In translation, I see is this august mystery. But the Latin, if you look at your Mass text, says the sacrament. What is that talking about? What sacrament that we're just beginning? It's talking about this whole sacramental system. This means of coming in contact with God through these outward signs. And what is this great, venerable, august mystery, this sacrament we're beginning? Lent. The whole season is going to be our contact continuously throughout these days of contact with God. And he's giving us, he hears the cries of his people. He hears your cries. He knows what burdens we all have. And he will lift them. He will carry them with us. All he asks is that we petition him. So that's what we're beginning, and the secret's reminding us of that. Now, what is it that are the works of this sacrament of Lent? Oh, okay, we'll just say quickly here. We talk about the three, of course, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and we'll learn a lot more about this as we go through Lent. But here the first day, we should know, what are these weapons we're going to be using? So prayer. We could go through a great analysis here. And we see it right away, even on the first Sunday of Lent. We'll see that with the temptation in the desert and the three attacks of the devil. He will be attacking on these three fronts. And what we're going to counter with is prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And the reason why is, we're just reflecting on the greatness of God, who has it all planned out and knows exactly what's happening, because that last Sunday of Quinquagesima Sunday, of Septuagesima season, you hear the epistle ending of St. Paul and saying, we have to everything we're going to do now in Lent, we have to do it with charity. And he tells us there are three: faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is charity. And now when we start Lent, we have the works of these theological virtues: faith, hope, and charity, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. What is prayer? Prayer, the lifting of our minds and hearts to God. So don't forget, it's the mind, that's not it, that's halfway, and the heart. If we're just lifting our mind, we're just thinking. Prayer is heart following that. And what happens in that process? We learn what God wants, and with our heart, we submit to that. We change our way. We'll do what you want, God. That's obedience. That's faith. Bowing our mind to what God reveals. Almsgiving. That's giving away whatever we can to the poor, to the church, to helping other people with our material needs. What are we doing? We are not entrusting ourselves to these physical things, money, possessions. We generously give them and share them with others because we do not count on them. We count on God. We don't trust those things. We trust God. We hope in Him. And the gospel tells us, where your treasure is, there's where your heart will be. And then our last weapon, that of fasting. We're going to separate ourselves as much as we can from the demands that we allow our bodies to make on us. And we're going to fight back and say, I don't need to eat that much. I don't need to eat this type of thing, like meat. I don't need to eat all the time, all day long. What am I doing? I am cutting back on the love that I give to this body of mine. Why? Because I want to love God. That's charity. So I've laid it out without all the detail. What is going to be the result of our efforts? The preface, and again, I told you that prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, you can speculate those things, but I'll save you some trouble. What is the greatest prayer we can offer? It's the Mass. Because God allows us to share with Him in His offering. Christ is the victim. Christ is the priest. But He lets all of us be part of it because of our baptism. That is our greatest prayer. So daily Mass, or as often as we can come, but at the very least, as we keep saying, read the Mass texts, even if you can't come. Take some time during the day in the quiet of your own room and just read the Mass texts. The Holy Spirit will give you those thoughts to make your hearts rise to Him. The reason why I'm saying that is because all we're doing right now is going through the Mass texts. If you have the time just to read over today's Mass texts, you're just going to sit there and go, well, that's just what I heard in the sermon. Well, of course. The Mass is our catechism book. And so read them. And all I'm doing is taking it right out of the preface. What is going to be the result of this? We're going to have a mitigation a curbing of our vices. We're already going to be getting better. We're already being healed. We're going to have an increase in love of God. All of these benefits. In the footsteps, the people that we are walking in their footsteps are these two great categories of people for Lent. The catechumens, those who study the catechism, and even though we are no longer catechumens, we've been baptized, our life of study always goes on. We cannot know enough about God. So during Lent, we should be, as the catechumens, going along with them, learning, relearning, making it deeper in us, our faith. And the other group, the penitents, those who have committed sins. Who among us has not done that? So here we have a chance to be just like them. And so when we receive I don't know if you saw it. Fortunately, I had a little pen here because I wrote down the words that are said when we receive the ashes. Remember, man, that thou art dust, and unto dust you shall return. These are the words that God said to Adam after he sinned. He said, You reached out to be like God, knowing good and evil. That's what you did. I commanded you not to eat the fruit, but you reached out, you listened. Well, Adam listened to his wife, who listened to the devil, source being the devil. So you've reached out, and now I have to remind you, you are just dust. And that's what you're going to return to. So you see what happens when we receive the ashes. We submit to that and we say, yes, we are nothing. We are nothing, God. You are everything. Humble us so that we, through the process of Lent, can be emptied of arrogance and pride that we've inherited from Adam, and fill us with yourself. And once we're full of God's love, where do we go? We go to heaven. And the foretaste of that is Holy Communion. So at this Mass, we ask God, give us the ability to love you and to be in heaven one day. So with some of these thoughts, receive the ashes tonight. May God bless you.